Forgotten Snow Angels, a red versus blue fan fiction. Written by Stark Raving or Punish and Slave Suckers on Tumblr. Read by God of Laundry Baskets. Summary: Caboose gets sick. Washington blames Tucker. Tucker cracks wise. Chicken soup is good for more than the soul, and Blue Team doesn't look anything like it used to, but it's still Blue Team. So, you mean to tell me, begins Washington in that tone he has, that you let Caboose leave the base, which is our base, let me remind you, because there are idiots with rifles on the other side of the canyon. So, knowing that, you let Caboose leave the base without his armor to go make snow angels on the roof, and then forgot about him for 2 hours, resulting pretty much directly in his catching a cold and being dog-fucking-sick? Do I just about have that right, Private Tucker? It's interesting how Washington does not achieve even nearly the volumes that Church used to, and yet still fully accomplishes the effect that Tucker has come to know as the "I'm going to kill you with a blunt object" effect. It's where your CO doesn't actually kill you with a blunt object, but you can so clearly see them fantasizing about it that the psychic energy generated by their goddamn hatred almost gives you a headache, the way Washington is looking at him right now. Hey, he wanted to make snow angels. I wasn't gonna piss on his dreams, dude. I am going to, Washington starts to say, then seems to think better of it. He inhales, clenches his fist, closes his eyes, and swallows back whatever threat to Tucker's physical well-being he clearly was working up towards. Tucker waits for him to decide not to kill him. Having decided, Wash opens his eyes and says, "Tucker, his calm is dangerous. You are going to help me take care of your teammate, and then, when we're done doing that, you're going to clean the whole goddamn base with a fucking toothbrush." Right. "Oh," says Wash serenely, "you think I'm joking. That's fucking hilarious." Tucker decides that Washington's area of effect in comparison to Church is significantly wider. This mostly on account of Washington being actually capable of doing Tucker physical harm, whereas Church could neither shoot, throw a punch, nor lie his way out of a paper bag. Wash is proficient in all three of those things, and he was crazy once, so that adds an edge to all the edges the dude already has going on. Let's help Caboose. Good idea, Private. Caboose is lying on the couch in the rec room, moaning in a pile of blankets. Washington is getting something from the kitchen, so it's Tucker who throws another blanket on top of the kid and crouches down next to the sofa. Caboose just groans pitifully and pulls the blanket up around his head, the dark thatch of his hair sticking up from the top of his head as though someone recently took a balloon rigorously to the top of his skull. Tucker pokes the miserable lump of teammate. "Oh, hey," comes the displeased moan from under the blankets. "No, Caboose, I'm here to make sure you don't die." Caboose makes a high-pitched whining sound. "No one," Washington says, striding through the door, "is going to die." He has the lid of an ammo chest in his hands, a thermos of something steaming, and a bottle of something orange. He sets the lid with the food damn on top of one of the many supply crates near the couch. Tucker eyes him as he does. Years ago, Church and he dragged the empty drop boxes in here to use as makeshift coffee tables. When Washington puts the lid down, it covers the maraud of coffee stains and burn and boot marks, years of accumulated abuse from everyone from Captain Flowers's herbal tea to Kai Kaina's toenail polish. Washington doesn't notice. He says, "Tucker, I left the heat pad in the microwave. Go get it out." Tucker leaves to do that. Pointedly does not wonder what became of Kai, where a woman with biceps the size of her sizable tits and a grin like a camera flash might end up in the war. He figures, however, that Griff has survived this long, and he's not nearly as tough. The flip side of that is, of course, that Griff is probably a lot cleverer than his sister, who is clever about a lot of things, but not war. Tucker comes back to the rec room and finds Washington has coaxed Caboose into sitting up so that he can tuck the blankets around him. Caboose sniffles grossly. Washington just hands him a tissue. "Don't cough on me," he says, neatly looping another blanket around his teammate.
"Okay."
"And don't throw tissues on the table."
"Okay."
"And don't wipe your nose on your sleeve. That's gross."
"Okay."
"Jesus." Wash fits his palm to Caboose's forehead. Tucker blinks. "Welp," says the freelancer, "you're pretty damn sick. See why you don't go lie around in snow without your temperature-regulating armor? Don't do that again."
"Okay."
Wash hands him the thermos. "Drink that."
"Okay."
Caboose drinks the whole thermos fuelin' in one gulp, snorts into a tissue, then drops it in the small garbage Wash has set down by the couch for just this reason. Wash trades him the thermos for the bottle, and Tucker notes he fed a purple curly straw into the top. "End that," says Washington. Tucker, having approached silently during this exchange, hands Wash the heat pad. "Thanks. Hand me the case on the table." Tucker notes there is a small black case, the size of a Tic Tac container, on the ammo lid. He picks that up and hands it to Washington, who thumbs the cap open and shakes two white pills into his palm. "Eat these," he says to Caboose. "Don't chew them, just swallow them."
"Okay,"
says Caboose sleepily.
"What's that stuff?"
says Tucker. "Vitamins," says Wash. "From my IFAC. We don't have any actual medicine in this hellhole. Another reason you're cleaning this place with a toothbrush." He glares at Tucker. "No one can afford to get sick, idiot." Then, in a completely different tone, he says to Caboose, "Go to sleep, Private. You being a moron just got you sick leave. Enjoy it."
"I can't," moans Caboose.
"I know. I was being sarcastic.
Oh.
A disgusting snort.
Okay, Church.
Washington freezes. Tucker, before the freelancer can react, says curtly, "That's not Church, idiot."
Oh, right.
Another disgusting snort.
Okay, washing tub.
Right, says Wash, shrugging off the slip. He does it almost well enough that one might miss the split second of, not fear, exactly, but confusion that crosses his face. Like he'd been slapped, or like he'd just become terribly uncertain about his name. He braces his hands on his knees and stands up. Let's go, Tucker. You have a date with the toothbrush.
No,
says Caboose. His teammates blink. What? Says Tucker.
Stay.
A sniff.
I don't want to sit by myself.
Washington and Tucker exchange a look. Tucker can tell from the way Washington's brow cleaves that he really, really, really wants to make Tucker clean the base with the toothbrush. But he also really, really, really doesn't want Caboose to start, like, crying or moaning pathetically again. So Tucker shrugs and Wash presses four fingers to his forehead, then slides his hand back into his electric blonde hair. He sighs. Okay, we'll stay. He points at Tucker. You, though, you're doing floor circuits.
Oh, man.
Push-ups now. Caboose grins blearily from his pile of blankets.
I'm kind of enjoying my sick leave now, Agent Washingtub.
Tucker does push-ups while Wash puts his feet up on the supply crate, putting a pair of black scuff marks on the wood next to flowers and churches. And Tucker doesn't say a thing. He doesn't want to jinx it. Also, he's having trouble breathing. Fucking Washington. The end.